welcome to a new episode of Mint Condition Comic Connoisseurs. I am Sarah, and we are Mint Condition Comic Connoisseurs. This is our host.
Ivan here.
I did that kind of wrong. I didn't know what to say. Welcome back, listeners. Thank you for joining us again. We are going to spoil a few things, and we're going to give an insight on a lot of comic book activity out there.
We're going to spoil it all.
We're going to spoil it all of it. So, what have you been up to?
Nothing, just reading comics and watching movies and reading more comics.
What are you currently reading right now?
Lots of stuff from everybody. Like anything.
Anything that sticks out that you're like, I love this?
The same ones that I've been kind of saying. I mean, last time I was here, I said the same ones. Image is the one that's putting out the
best stuff. Yeah.
East meets West and Manifest Destiny. I'm really actually enjoying from Marvel. I'm enjoying Magneto and Thor with the female Thor.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I'm really enjoying that title. It's pretty. Nice. It's pretty good. And today issue 4 came out, and it's pretty cool because you see, it's kind of hard to differentiate the female and the male Thor, the old Thor.
Okay.
They're both on the comic now.
Oh, really?
Because the male Thor, the old Thor, he's kind of upset that, you know, his powers are gone and stuff happened to him in the past few issues. So he's kind of like he's just like
lost.
What the hell is going on? Yeah. And the new chick is like, it's funny because she's still trying to figure out her powers. Mm. And we really don't know who it is yet. So
really?
Maybe we'll find out soon. I mean, people have talked about who it is. I maybe have an idea, but I feel like it's too obvious.
Okay.
So I'm kind of hoping that they don't go that obvious route. But, you know, I don't know. I guess I'll see you when we get there.
Are you still reading Preacher?
Preacher, yes. I just started book 2.
Nice.
Love that book.
Yeah. Preacher. I know. My aunt, she doesn't read comic books, and she read that whole series.
Yeah.
I mean, the whole, what is it, 7 books?
Something like that. 8 books or something. Yeah. It's crazy because when you talk to these old school comic book fans, which they're really smart. It's cool because I like talking to the older comic book fans because they know their stuff. They really know their stuff. So it's cool because it's like, for me, when I get to talk to one of the guys that knows about the old stuff, it's like I'm in class. It's like, I ask him a question.
And take notes.
And it's even better because they get excited. And they're like, oh, yeah, this and that. Like Sean, I was talking to Sean from Drinking with Comics. Mm-hmm. He's cool because you ask him a question, he's like, oh, yeah, you know, and this and that. And then I'm just like there, like taking notes, you know, just like, oh, okay. So it's pretty cool. It's like, where did that come from? I don't even know where I went with that.
How did I get there? No, just old school comic geeks.
Yeah.
My aunt is not into comic books at all. And she read this, you know, basically the whole story, the entire Preacher thing. And so that speaks a lot, I think, about the incredible storyline there.
I mean, to me, it's like my favorite superhero is Batman. And now that I've been reading more comics, I'm starting to see who I am, like where I'm at with comics. Like, I'm starting to see what kind of comic books I like. I like those gritty detective.
Really?
Yeah, that's what I'm starting. There's other stuff that I like, too. Mm-hmm. But, like I mean, for example, right now, Magneto is not a gritty detective one, but it's just a well-written book. It's an awesome book. Mm-hmm. Thor is not that. But when it comes to a book that I read that's, like, detective-y, that's, you know, like, fighting, it's like, I for some reason, I just like to, I'm trying to see why I really love Batman. Just because his emotion, he fights these guys with pretty much, you know, just his fists. And, I mean, he does have gadgets and stuff, but he doesn't have superpowers. And it's cool to just see him get down and fight with these people, like, you know, fist to fist, and, you know, as to where, like, other people, they have a power, and it's like, whoosh, get away from me, you know. But, I mean, I still like it all, but I'm starting to realize that that's what I like. And a lot of the, Outcast. Outcast is an awesome book.
Is that the Old West one?
No, that's about, it's more about, what's the name? Exorcisms. What's it called? You get people that are possessed and stuff. That's written by Robert Kirkman, the writer of The Walking Dead and Invincibles.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So that I love that book. That's an awesome book. So kind of like that stuff too, like horror, like demonology
stuff kind like of that. Stuff.
I'm kind of conjuring. Like, oh, yeah. So I kind of have nightmares at night. It's just like, am I kidding? I was watching an episode of Constantine late night once, and I had a freaking nightmare, and I was like,
the fuck?
I was like, going to wake up. Whoa, what's going on?
Nice.
But yeah, so I guess just loving comics, just getting older, reading more comics, digging the history. And I need to go to a city college and take a comic book.
Yeah, course. They have those now.
Yeah.
I'm so excited about that.
I was like, we should sign up for
one.
Yeah,
I know. I would totally love to do that.
Like, yeah, we'll be like the oldest ones there. And be like, yeah, what's going on?
Yeah, we collect comics, yes.
We got to go to the comic book to get some what's it called? Reference material. Or we got to study stuff.
That's so cool. I'm actually,
Wow, that's cool.
Yeah, it is really cool. I'm reading Sandman Orature. I think it's on issue number 3 right now. It's really good. I like the artwork.
I hear a lot about Sandman. I've never read anything about Sandman. I don't know about Sandman. The only thing I know about Sandman is that they're trying to make a movie or something, right?
Yes. Joseph Gordon-Levitt is a producer of that.
Oh, he's a producer of it.
Yeah. He might be starring in it, but I don't think he's going to be the main
character. He's a better producer than the producer that's for Preacher. You know, Preacher's coming to AMC.
Yes, I can't wait.
But Seth Rogen is a producer, and I'm kind of, great, we're going to have fart and dick jokes. And I mean, they do talk about the stuff, but it's
Arse
like,
face.
I just don't see him putting out a great, you know, unless they copy exactly what's in the comic, you know.
Hopefully they do.
I mean, hopefully, because he says he's a big fan. Again, he's one of those guys from back in the day that read it issue to issue.
Well, if he's a big fan and he read
hopefully
it,
hopefully he won't
mess issue,
it up.
I think he'll be like, you know, I don't want to mess this up, because this is like, for me, like, if for some reason I had the, you know, the power to produce Sandman myself, like, I would take very, very extreme measures to make it as close to the comic book as possible.
Right.
Because I hate it when things are ruined for me.
Yeah.
You know? So I think, as a fan, I think he could.
Every single comic book movie that's out there right now, they change everything.
They change it all.
They change it. Sometimes it's for the better. Sometimes it's not.
I'm glad that they're going series on this, though, because they have a longer period of time to kind of establish storyline and character development and so forth, instead of, like, you know, a 2-hour movie.
Yeah. John asked me the other day. I was with him, and he... For those of you that don't know, John is one of my co-hosts on one of my podcasts.
Yes.
We were talking, and he asked me, he's like, how long do you think these comic book movies are going to go on for? And I'm like, I don't know. I'm like, I was thinking to myself, I was like, you know what? Right now it's cool, because it's like, bam, it's like our world, you know?
Yeah.
It's, at least for me, it's like my world that I disappear into and read these books and just read and read. And I'm like, I don't know. I'm like, would I like, because we know we have movies up to what, 20 something?
Yes, I believe
like
so.
That.
Yeah, they have lists of things going on until.
And it's like, if they keep doing movies after that, like, will I still be excited for them? Like, or am I going to be like, you know what?
I'm over it.
I'm done with the comic book movies. Yeah. Like, let's move on to something else. So, I mean, I just don't know. I was just trying to figure that out. I was like, that's a good question. Like, I mean, they have material to go on forever, right?
They really do.
They have.
I mean, they have an extraordinary amount of literature out there to go on. I mean, and they've been actually making comic movies for quite some time.
Yeah.
I mean, some of these are not hero related, or, you know, like the, you know, parallel universe thing. But there are some movies out there that have been based on comic books that nobody even knows are based on comic books, which is cool, you know.
But I guess, like, right now, because they're so back to back.
Yeah, it's pretty in your face.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, very exciting. So we're going to give a little...
Actually, my whole point of asking you about Sandman...
oh, yes.
...was, okay, like, I haven't read it. I don't know anything about Sandman.
I got all of them. You want to borrow them? All of them.
I was going to ask you, for somebody that doesn't know Sandman, because when did Sandman come out? Like, when...
In the 80s, you could tell from the actual, you know, the art is pretty dated. And they go through several artists within the comic book. So I'll say 80s. Yeah.
And, say you're trying to sell it to me, like you're telling me, hey, read this. Like, can you tell me, like, about it? Like,
well, it has to do with, a main character called Morpheus, or the Sandman, and he's part of a family of the Seven Endless. There's Death, who is the oldest, Destiny, who is blind and carries a book of everything that happens in the entire world. Mm-hmm. There's Destruction, who actually bowed out of his title and became kind of an artist, a hippie. There's Delirium, who used to be Despair. Delirium used to be Delight. And then there's Despair, Desire, and Dream. And they're the Seven Endless. They just kind of exist in their plane. But there's a lot of involvement with humanity and a lot of mysticist stuff, a lot of, like, conjuring and a lot of magic going on.
Right.
But basically, the story is about the Dream, who is, you know, the main character. Mm. He, in the first book, he gets imprisoned by a guy who wants to trap Death, but he ends up trapping Dream. And he has him trapped for many, many years. And he escapes, and it's too late for him to take revenge on the man who trapped him. So he goes on and takes revenge over his son, or, right, you know, his, you know, offspring. But then after he takes revenge and he recovers all his things that belong to him, like there was a jewel, a helmet, and a little bag of sand. Then he takes you on that trip with him where you're finding your items. And one of the things I really like about this book is that it's so incredibly well written, but it also, what it does is it combines a lot of ideas and a lot of faiths and a lot of belief systems out there, and right, it intertwines them. And it even, like, for instance, there's a lot of things about, like, Greek mythology and stuff that I wasn't even really familiar with that he intertwines into the storylines. And it's just, it actually teaches you as you're reading. Oh, cool. But this guy's really sullen, really dark, but you kind of love him, you know, sometimes he surprises you as a character.
Yeah.
So, and there's a lot of, it's definitely for mature readers. It's on Vertigo. So there's, you know, some child molesters, there's some demons that escape his realm. Nightmares, actually. They're not demons. They're right. Nightmares. Basically, what happens when he's captured is, like, his realm of the Dream, becomes to disintegrate. And a lot of the nightmares begin to escape. Some of the things break apart and so forth. So he goes and kind of tries to find them all again and, you know, reconstruct the Dreaming.
Okay.
So, but it's just amazing. There's so many things that happen. God, it's so hard to explain. It's so hard.
I mean, if there's going to be a TV show out, like, I'm definitely going to have to read it. Yeah. You know, that's kind of like the way, that's kind of helping me as to what do I want to read next? Mm-hmm. Like, you know, because it's like movies are coming out. I mean, we know Batman.
Yeah.
You know, whatever. But say, like, example, Guardians of the Galaxy came out. Who the fuck are the Guardians of the Galaxy?
Yeah, I know, really.
Time to go read a book, see what it's about, you know? Like, Sandman, let's be like, okay, gotta go read a book, see what's going on. Even with, like, Daredevil.
Yeah.
I know who Daredevil is.
Yes.
I've never really gotten into his story.
Matt Murdock.
Yeah. And,
Matt Murdock.
And so I actually bought the first volume of Daredevil.
Oh, wow. Really?
Which goes into, it's Frank Miller's Daredevil.
Oh, okay.
Which kind of seems like that's what they're going for in the TV show.
So, yeah. They're really going Frank Miller style?
It looks like,
okay,
it,
right,
yeah,
on. I haven't read that story arc at all. The way I was introduced to Daredevil was, of course, the movie, which totally sucked. The main story I read on him was End of Days, by David Mack and Brian Michael Bendis, and I thought that was a sensational story.
I heard the Bendis stuff is really good, also, so I want to check that out.
Yeah.
It's just that, like, the comic is, like, the old school stuff, you know, the 80s stuff, so it's, like, kind of like,
ugh, I know.
You kind of got to get through it, like, oh, no, there's chewing gum under my shoe, what am I going to do? Mm-hmm. Let's call Spider-Man, and...
Right.
We need the Hulk to do this. And oh no, Hulk farted. It's kind of like, it's really cheesy, really corny, you know?
A little corny, yes. Yeah, exactly.
And that's actually the writer that was right before, who did I just say? Frank Miller.
Frank Miller, yeah.
So I just got to the Frank Miller stuff, so I'm hoping, you know, it'll live up to the hype, to what everybody's talking about.
Yeah, pretty good shit.
Wolverine, I want to read the Frank Miller stuff too.
Nice. Yeah, you know, when I was growing up with comics, I didn't really focus on the writer. And then as I grew older, that's one of the things that was the main focus. Like, who's writing it? Oh, okay.
Yeah.
You know, this is going to be great.
Yeah, it's like, well, like, yeah, the same thing with me. When you first check out, when I first saw comics, when I first saw a comic book store, the only time I would get comics is when I would go to TJ. Really? That's the only time I knew a freaking comic book existed until I saw Jeffries here in Gardena.
Me too. And that was a big staple in my youth. Go ahead.
And I lived in Gardena.
Yes.
But our family were Mexicans, so we would go to TJ with a doc dentist that was a friend of the family, so he would do our dental work when we were young, when I was little.
Yeah.
Two doors down, there was a comic book store in TJ, and that's where I would get my comics.
Really?
So when I would go to the dentist, I'd be like, oh, it's kind of like sucky, but then I get to buy some comics. And yeah, it's the same thing. It's like, okay, this one looks cool. The cover looks cool. Oh, Batman, of course. I need a Batman. Oh, Spider-Man, this is cool, you know? Mm-hmm. But it never hit me that they're continuous, you know?
Yeah.
It's like a series. Yeah, it's the same. Till later, it's like, whoa, this is all...
This is kind of cool.
This is cool. This is the universe.
My first comic book was Creepshow. It cost me 10 cents at a yard sale.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. It was pretty cool. Pretty cool. And then after that, you know, like, I would always drive by Jeffries. Actually, my friends would drive by Jeffries, and I'm like, I want to go in there. I want to go in there one day. And, you know, they never took me, but I would always say, I want to go in there. And finally, when I started going, it was like, this is where I belong.
Right.
You know? It was great.
Yeah, I remember when I first saw Jeffries, I saw that Batman van outside.
Oh, yes.
And I was like, what the fuck is that? Mom, what is that? And they never took me till I was older.
Right.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, they don't want you to ask them for stuff, so they don't.
Diablo.
Or like, no, you're not getting anything. Yeah. That sucks. But yeah, that's basically. And Jeffries, he just passed away, so.
Yeah, he passed away.
Yeah, poor guy. But he had a good life, I think. It's really cool.
He lived his comic book dream.
He sure did.
Yeah.
He sure did. Actually, I met Jim Lee at Jeffries Comics when he Jeffries was signing Comics. For Wildcats. Wildcats?
Right, Wildcats.
Yeah. Yeah. I took a picture with him, but when I actually developed the film, it was blurred.
Because
I know, and I was like, and now, of course, it's lost.
It was little even... Eric. He's like...
Yeah. I really liked that when we were young, he would have these... art contest, so the kids would draw a character and they'd have a contest, and Eric won, I don't know, like twice, whatever, dude. So, I know we've all seen freaking Fantastic Four clip ad nauseum.
Fant Four Stick?
There is sacrifice. And there are consequences.
So, yeah, what do you think about this movie, dude?
I don't know.
You're not excited?
No, I'm not excited about it. It just, the trailer didn't do it for me. First of all, I wasn't in the first place excited about these actors. Then I saw the trailer, and I was like, maybe if I see the trailer. Now, to start off on a positive note, the cinematography looks great. It looks beautiful. Like, the background, the shots look awesome.
They sure do. They sure do.
It's really like Nolan-esque and like Interstellar.
Yeah.
The old Batman stuff. Not old Batman stuff, but the last Batman stuff. Mm-hmm. Just really Nolan-ish. And
dark.
So that looks awesome. When the main characters aren't in the scene. Once again, I'm like,
you're like, who are you?
I just can't make the connection with these guys.
The only person that I could see... that I could see when I see her on screen is the Invisible Woman. Uh-huh. That's the only one that kind of like, okay, I could see it.
Wait, it's because you only have Jessica Alba to compare it to.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
With her cricket powers Post? Thing. Yeah. I was like, what the hell
are
it?
You doing?
But yeah, I just can't make that connection. And the trailer, they have this... it was weird. To me, it felt like a fan-made trailer. They have, like, this Morgan Freeman reject talking, and he's the dude in the movie. So it's like they got, like, the next best thing to Morgan Freeman. And then just those actors, I can't do it. I just can't see them. I can't make the connection. The guy that plays Reed Richards, he annoys me when he's on the... He's like...
Is he the one that was also in Divergent?
I don't know. I didn't see that movie.
Oh, okay. But he's that actor, right? He's standing by the bed?
I don't know if he was in Divergent. I know he was in a few other movies, kind of supposed to be funny. He was Zac Efron. He's been in movies with Zac Efron. And as he's the black dude that's playing Johnny Storm and him, the one that's playing Reed Richards, they were in a movie together recently with Zac Efron. It's like, it was like those teenager, young adult movies. Yeah.
That guy that you're saying, I also don't like him. And I don't know why.
And he came on the screen.
I don't know why, guy. I'm really sorry. Yeah. I'm sure you're talented, but yeah. I don't know. You just, I don't know.
I mean, yeah, you guys are actors, so I mean, but I don't like it. He came on screen when he's looking around at the new lab or whatever. He's like, oh, it was just like, what the fuck?
Who,
like,
are you?
And they are all with their extreme face shots in the trailer. It's like, I mean, right now I'm shitting on the movie. The past 2 days I've been shitting on the movie.
Yeah.
I'm hoping that I'll see more trailers as the year goes on, and maybe it'll change my mind. Because right now, from what we know, with Dr. Doom not being in the movie, well, he's in the movie, but he's the 00M, the super hacker, super blogger. I'm like, come on, the Dr. Doom's a fucking physicist, fucking genius.
Right?
And, you know, they go into this alternate universe, they Superman their powers, that's how they get their powers, and I'm just, I don't know.
I'll watch it. It'll have
my money. I'm definitely going to watch it.
Yeah. It'll have my money. Just, I don't know if it'll have my heart.
Yeah.
That's freaking crazy. So.
And
Scott, I need you to be the Ant-Man.
I cut out that little part because that guy just, I mean, I like him, but I don't know. I'm kind of iffy also on Ant-Man. What are you thinking? I mean,
I'm excited for Ant-Man. No, I actually, as I said that, I wasn't true to myself. I am looking forward to Ant-Man. Is it just because it's a Marvel movie? Maybe, but I'm looking forward to it. But again, a trailer was another trailer that didn't sell me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was telling my buddy again, the trailer, what's it called? The test footage that they showed at Comic-Con.
Yes, the one where he's running on the gun. Yeah, that was amazing.
If that would have been the trailer,
yeah,
just that piece, if that would have been the trailer, oh my God, I would have been like, heck yeah, when is freaking Ant-Man coming out? But that, and then compared to what the trailer was on, I wasn't. I'm still looking forward to it.
Of course.
A lot more than Fant4Stick.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that one looks like it'll be okay.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like it'll go over okay. For me, in my mind.
Well, I mean, it's, you know, it's one of the many movies that Marvel is putting out, so I'm excited. They do a good job.
Yeah, I'm writing on my book.
One of the things also, have you met Mr. D'Angelino from, he does the Collectors comic strip?
Oh, Eddie D'Angelo. Eddie. I've bought comics from him, but I've never, like, sat there and talked to him.
So you've actually met him before, outside in his civilian world.
Yeah.
Right on. Well, I love his comic strip. I mean, maybe I didn't. As a matter of fact, I've actually looked and read his comic strip. Mm-hmm. And I think you posted it. You shared it or whatever. And then that's where I was introduced to it. I didn't, you know, I don't go and stalk people on Facebook. I just like shit. And then I love it, you know. So I had no idea he is, you know, a local boy.
Yeah.
No idea whatsoever. So when I saw he was going to be at Kamikaze, I got really excited. I packed up my microphone and my little iRig shit, and I interviewed him, you know. So we're going to listen to that interview. And then later on, we'll be joined by Eric, who is also a Mint Condition Comic Connoisseur host, which likes to drop in and out. And here we go.
It's just a community podcast. Like, it's, right. Anyway, if you like comics, you can show up.
You can just show up, dude. Just show up. Hello, this is Sarah from Mint Condition Comic Connoisseurs, and we're here with collectors, writer, and artist.
Yes. Eddie D'Angelini.
It's such an honor to meet you. I am a big fan. I follow you on Facebook. I love your comic strip. It reminds me of my husband and myself. Does your wife mind when you put her in your comic strips?
My wife is my biggest fan. I will say that when I first started, she was a little hesitant, a little reluctant, because I would draw her maybe like nagging me or being a little angry and stuff. She said, "You're always drawing me with an angry face and yelling at you. What if your comic strip gets really big and we go to conventions and people hate me and they throw stuff at me?" But it's funny that when people see the ones where she's mad at me, they always write stuff like, "Oh my God, I love Mean Kristen. Oh my God, she's so funny." So no, she loves it. She's my biggest fan.
I am so happy about that. I mean, I love it. I love it. I can't get enough of it. It's just amazing. I'm so starstruck. It's such an honor to meet you and have you sign my books. It's really awesome. And it just speaks so, I mean, deeply to me with me and my husband as well. So, I mean, I just want to thank you. This idea was amazing. How did you come up with it?
I originally started writing the idea, believe it or not, as a film script. And I've got it kicking around somewhere at my place still. But the thing about making movies is that it's like such a long, drawn-out process. And I just wanted to do something where I can get the work out to people to see quicker. So I thought, well, it would be fun to do it as a little comic strip, which I started doing. And that's like immediate, especially with the internet. You can just put up a website, social media, and get them out there for people to see right away and get feedback. And so that's how it started.
Actually, that's how I started following you. I don't know who posted something, a comic strip, and I read it, and I'm like, oh, this is so awesome. I can't believe it. It's like me. Like, I feel like so personally attached to your comic strip, definitely.
Thank you. I love hearing that. When I'm doing a show like this, I love someone coming up and saying, "Oh my God, I've seen your stuff. I know your stuff. Oh, it's just like me. Oh, I can totally identify with you. It's just like us," because I get a lot of couples coming to my table and saying that, and I love that, you know, and especially when my wife is here. She's not here today, but she was here yesterday. When she's here and she sees that, it's like, "Hey, see, check it out, honey. I'm a big deal. See?"
That's so, of course you're a big deal. When did you get this idea and how did it come about? It, I mean, about what year and was it a struggle? I mean, tell me all about it.
It was 2.5 years ago when I started doing the comic strip, and I just, like I said, I wrote it originally as a film script, wanted to do something more immediate, just started drawing. And I'm not really an artist. I mean, I drew a lot when I was younger, but then I dropped it. And I had the idea of doing it as a comic strip, but I sat on it for a while because I thought, well, I'd have to get an artist to do it. Then I thought, well, I'll just try drawing it myself. I did. I wasn't too bad. And as the time went on, I just got better and better. So I had one strip done, and I had a few ideas for other ones, but I thought, well, I'll wait till I have maybe half a dozen, then I'll start putting them up. But I, you know, time, jobs, and it gets in the way. So I just said, okay, to heck with it. I'll put the one up and trust that I can do a new one every week and be consistent. And I have. And I put up a new strip every Sunday morning, and I've been doing it for 2.5 years, and I've never missed a Sunday.
That is amazing. Yeah. That is amazing.
That I'm proud of.
I'm proud of you too. Did you, are you doing this now full time? Is this all you do now?
No, I do have a day job. It's tough to survive on comics. This is like still a side thing for me. I hope to do more with it. I've got plans that I want to do. I would like to dust off that film script at some point. But I also in the coming year would like to start doing some short animated webisodes of Collectors.
That would be amazing.
Yeah.
I can't wait. As a matter of fact, I'm thinking, you know, with all these like movies coming out and a lot of like comic book hero fans coming out there, I think this is going to be just getting bigger and huge. I mean, I don't know. I just think you speak to a big audience out there, and I'm really, really happy to have met you.
Well, thank you. It's nice to know that I'm not all alone in this love of what I do and the comics and everything. It's nice to know that my wife is not alone suffering with living with me.
Yes. You should see our house. We have like all these like toys and stuff, and my husband's like, okay.
The standing joke at my place is when people come over and see all the toys and comics, they ask, "Oh, how old is your boy?" And my wife says, "Oh, 46.
I love that. No, my brother and I collect as well. So, and then my husband's like, we want to minimalize, not, you know, how many shelves do you need?
Yeah, see, how many more comics do you need? All of them.
Yes, exactly. long whites. Yeah. Another question I wanted to ask you. With doing your comic strip, I guess who that you have admired that you have met because of what you do?
Oh, that is a very easy question to answer. Stan Lee.
Really?
Yes. Yeah. I got interviewed for Stan Lee's website last year, but I had met him before because I actually did a little bit of work on the documentary that was done of him, With Great Power. So I got to hang out with him a couple of times, and, you know, I was able to bring a stack of some of my comics and have him sign them, so that's a biggie. And in the new book, the new collector's book, there's an interview that they did of me on his site, along with the strip that he actually cameos in.
That is amazing! And were you ever, were you able to bring, like, an unlimited amount for him to sign, or did you have, like, a cutoff?
No, you know what, I tried to just bring a couple, because when I met him, I have a friend who works in his office, and he told me Stan Lee, I mean, he's the nicest guy in the world, he will sign anything, but he actually has a room in his office that is just piled high with comics, toys, books, everything, and the poor guy has to, one day a week, has to sit in that room all day long, signing his name over and over and over. So, I mean, at his age, I feel bad for him that he's got to do that. So I just tried to bring a couple things and say, you know, please, if you don't mind. But he was really nice about it.
Can I ask what those things were?
Yes. My copy of Avengers number 4 back in the 60s. And another one was an, oh, gosh, I'm trying to remember now. It was an early, oh, gosh. It was an early issue of Daredevil is what it was. I couldn't remember for a minute there. Because Daredevil after Spider-Man is my favorite character.
That's amazing. That's so great. God, I lost my train of thought. Okay, are they framed?
No, they're not framed. They're just in my collection, just like all my other books.
Right on, right on.
I should frame them.
You should. Yes. Like, you know, they frame records now. Yes. Like, they have frames specifically.
Yep, they do. I should do that.
Totally. Yep. I would love to see that with a little spotlight. Awesome.
Yeah, in my studio with all my stuff. Yeah.
Well, it was an honor. Like I said, I'm so happy you agreed to talk to me, to us, Mint Condition Comic Connoisseur. So I just wish you the very best, and thank you so much.
Thank you. This was great. Thank you so much.
Awesome. Okay, can you tell, like, I'm a total dork?
That's cool, yeah.
Like, okay, so now I know that he's, like, a logo boy. Mm-hmm. He's, like, literally, like, 15 minutes away.
Wednesdays you can go see him at the shop.
Yeah.
Well, now he has a new shop.
Yeah,
so
he has bought his own shop, Heidi Ho Comics, which I've been trying to get to, but every time he has, like, a function, I have to be in Las Vegas visiting my husband. But I have a meaning to go, definitely. But I own his comic strip, comic books. He signed them. Amazing. I'm so excited.
Did you buy just a single strip or the book?
The book. I bought both. Okay. Both books. Yes.
I wanted to buy...
They're so good.
Because I go to Torrance, the flea market there. And I went one day, the last time I went, which was a couple months ago. And he was there. Mm-hmm. Well, his stand was there. He wasn't there.
Oh.
His wife was there.
Mm-hmm. Kristen.
Yeah. And
I love her.
I wanted to buy a book, but he wasn't there, and I kind of wanted him to sign it.
Yeah.
I mean, I should have just bought it, and I could go to the store and sign it, but I was kind of wanted to...
Interact
with mm-hmm. him there and stuff, you know?
Well, he was so great. He was so kind, and I, you know, I get really starstruck. I actually start sweating when I interview people.
I get
when
the meat sweats.
I get whenever I have the microphone on, and I, you know, I pitch out our name out there and stuff, I just get all sweaty and shit. It's horrible. And then I start, you know, losing my train of thought and stuff. So there's my little interview. It was one of my first interviews out there. So listeners, I hope it wasn't too bad. And please check out his Facebook page, Collectors. He goes on the Brother Bear podcast quite a bit. So check them out too. I haven't been able to listen just yet, but there's an episode out there where Kristen comes in.
Yeah, actually, I saw the pictures because I have him on Facebook also, and he posted the pictures, and his wife was there. Yeah, that's true.
It just seems like a wonderful, wonderful partnership.
Podcast.
Yeah, I know. I tried to look it up on iTunes, but I couldn't find it. But maybe I'm typing it wrong.
I'll tell you after the show.
Yeah,
but remind me.
We'll go into it after that. So we have in our studio a special guest, another Mint Condition comic connoisseur,
like mentally special, not like.
It's
Compton Eric.
Woo! Compton Eric.
Hey, Compton Eric.
It's kind of weird being on the other side of the spectrum right now.
What do you mean?
With the Harrison Ford.
Harrison Ford.
I'm happy to be here.
So we bring Compton Eric in here because he has
Chris Pratt.
He has extensive knowledge of the comic book realm. He hasn't read anything new, but what he does, this man has like an elephant's memory. You nitpick at his brain, and he can give you all the answers, like, of the universe.
I think I should donate my brain to
science.
To definitely. Science for that.
We will. So, first on the list, guys, Flash.
The TV show?
The TV show.
Okay, Flash. Oh, man. I got to say is I love the show. I love the show. It's,
isn't it
it's
wonderful?
A great show. You know, at first I was a little bit, I'm a little bit reluctant to watch it. Mm-hmm. But then again, they introduced him in Arrow. And I remember when they introduced him, I had read about it already before. And they're like, we're going to introduce Barry Allen into the Arrow show. I'm like, okay, how's this going to work? You know, I thought there wasn't any real heroes like that, you know, supernatural powers.
Right.
Because Arrow's pretty much just standalone, like mob bosses, hitmen, and that's pretty much it. So when they introduced him with a good story, which was, you know, his mom dying and some unknown flash of light killed his mom. And
it was a red and yellow flash of light.
Yeah. So I thought introducing him that way, that kind of introduced the world of the unknown. You know, where, like, there is powers out there. And that was kind of cool how they subtly put that into the Arrow show. Mm-hmm. And I like how they actually, spoilers if anyone hasn't watched it.
You have to watch it.
Yeah, you have to watch it, yeah. So if you don't want to hear about it, yeah. It's kind of cool because in the Arrow show, they show him going back to Central City. And then that accident happened where he gets struck by lightning and the shit
hits the fan.
Well, I mean, you know, the chemicals around him make him who he is. Yeah. And I was like, oh my God, they're going to do it. They're actually going to do it. And, you know,
I remember when that happened. You were like, oh my God, they're going to do it.
They're going to do
it.
Yeah, exactly.
But at that point, I wasn't watching Arrow. Yeah, so I wasn't into it.
Yeah, you were watching Arrow. I was way on board with Arrow. You were the last one to get on board.
I know.
Like, I were the ones who first watched.
But when it first started, it took him a while, though.
It did. It took me
a while. I was like, just watch it, man. Just watch it.
Yeah, because the flashbacks were.
Well, it wasn't that. It just
for me, it was
just like, how can I take him seriously?
Yeah.
Because it's Arrow. You know, I think Arrow is kind of like Marvel's Iron Man.
Even, for me, I was like, cool. Like, it's cool. It's comic book TV show, but it's like it's on the CW.
That's
a turn off.
I think the CW kind of left a bad taste in my mouth because of Smallville. Yeah,
I've never seen that.
It was a great show. It was
started off good.
The first three seasons were good.
Jonathan won't see Arrow. He says he doesn't like Arrow, and he's like in love with Smallville. So I tell him,
serious?
I'm like, Smallville sucks. I'm never gonna see it. He's like, you gotta watch it. Never gonna see it.
You know what? Just for purposes, I mean, I love Smallville. I love the first three seasons. I bought every season. I mean, they're up there.
Actually, see? Oh, Smallville, yeah.
And
I should just take them
from you might as well. Just borrow them.
Pretty much.
I'm not, you know, I'm even tempted to rewatch those seasons.
But, I know, right?
But they kind of lost me when it was just too lovey-dovey, you know.
God, see, that whole thing with Lana.
That's what I've seen.
Well, that's where the influence of CW was in more.
That's what I think when I hear Smallville. It's just Lana and
yeah. Well, I mean, that's where it started going, and then they started doing. But we're not talking about that.
Yeah, we're not talking.
But I mean, Arrow. I was scared for Arrow. That was my fear, and they delivered. I mean, yeah, they have some corny lines, and you know the drama.
Does,
the
yeah.
They kind of do
the CW.
Yeah, they do lay down the drama.
Yeah, they do.
But the thing is, though, they throw it in, and I think with what you were saying with the flashbacks, it just kind of level that out because it was gritty flashbacks, like, you know, his dad killing himself. He's stuck on an island. He's getting
that was nuts.
I think that was what
we
yeah, like, yeah, it's like, whoa, you're so cool.
Survive.
Survive, Miko.
No big speech. Just survive.
Yeah, well, because like we don't have enough food. We don't have enough water. And he sacrificed.
He killed the other guy, dude. That was awesome.
Yeah, he killed the other guy and killed himself without a thought. And I'm like, you know what? I would have done the same thing.
As hell,
a father.
Yeah, as a father.
Fuck you. I don't care if the next guy is my compadre. I'm like,
you're dead, dude.
Sorry, dude. My son has to live. I mean, I'd expect the same thing he to do if it was his kid.
I would have been like, look, you party a lot. You're really not going to amount to anything in life.
you know what? I think his dad had a lot of faith in him, remember? Because he gave him the book, kind of telling him, you know, fix my wrongs. That was pretty crazy, but I think
that's intense.
But I do like the story arc of him being in the island. I mean, they don't really touch up on it so much in the comic. They just like because I was wondering, are they going to do that route? And they did it. But just a little different. He was just a, you know, like a playboy, like Bruce Wayne. But
dude, he was such a tool.
He was an ass. Oh, he was an asshole. Every time you saw a flashback of him,
I just cringe. He even wears those like slip on shoes with no socks.
The khaki pants
polo shirts and lacrosse, whatever.
Yeah, lacrosse.
Whatever.
He was probably a lacrosse player. but I mean that for me, it just kind of paved the way for DC, and now I was like, well, I'll give that a shot, and I saw it all the way through, and I loved it. I saw it every week. I had Hulu, so I caught up quick.
Yeah, quick.
Yeah,
that's what I did.
I was good. But when introducing the Flash, I think they're doing a good job. They were actually in fear that it wasn't going to do so well because I think there wasn't enough audience. The ratings weren't that high. A lot of people weren't watching it. But then again, it just saved it. They actually got signed up actually, it was crazy because they filmed up to a certain point, and then they got greenlit to do the full 22. Right. And then after that finished, well, they're pretty much close to the end right now. Mm-hmm. They got greenlit to do the second season, so which is kind of cool because they're leaving way too much in the show to not try to finish it.
Yeah.
My thing with the Flash is I love the Flash. I'm always there Tuesdays when it's on, or the next
Hulu.
Day.
The next day, Hulu.
Yeah. Hulu.
If you don't have Hulu, you can see it on CW.com.
Right.
So, for free? Or?
Yeah. Yeah,
okay.
For free, just like the past four episodes or something.
Yeah.
You see it for free.
Hulu does the same thing.
My thing is just him, the guy that plays, Barry Allen.
Mm-hmm. He's too wimpy?
He seems too wimpy. Like, I'm kind of waiting for that. Whoever's gonna pop in
the cocky thing
and show him how to fight, because right now he's just like,
you know what?
Well, in these episodes, he's been transitioning into that.
Yeah,
well,
you know, he just runs. And, yeah, I got your shit.
You know what?
Follow me.
For being as smart as he is, because he's supposed to be like a
genius.
no, he's a what was it called?
Crime when logistics people.
Shit, what's that
crime
word?
Scene?
Yeah, yeah.
CSI?
Oh, yeah, I know.
There's something about that, yeah. But he, you know, he should know something, some kind of, some science.
Like, the only time he fought was with the crossover with Arrow was fucking awesome.
I kind of like him getting shot in the arrows in the back.
Yeah, that was great.
It's like, you shot me. He's all like, you heal fast.
Yeah.
But you know what, though? A lot of people didn't like the Flash because they call him a metrosexual.
Why?
Well, because look at how he dresses. He's kind of like the poster boy.
He's kind of wimpy.
He's kind of the poster boy. He's like, what do you call it? What do you call
those
guys?
He's not Abercrombie.
What do you call those guys? Hipsters.
Hipsters. Well,
he's a hipster.
He just, in this, the episode before last, he referred to himself as a millennial, which I hadn't understand until I realized, you know.
Yeah, the young folk. The 2000s.
Yes. Yes. I did not know that.
You know that millennial?
he's just a CW sexual.
There you go.
Yeah. I get that.
I mean, he's a good actor. Don't get me wrong. He's a good actor. I think he's a good choice, but everyone's waiting for that cockiness to kick in.
Yeah.
But the thing is, though, he's very, I don't know, man. It seems like all these characters seem to be broken. Like, they have this harsh past that they can't just get over.
Yeah.
You know, like, Arrow always seems so broody, like Batman.
Yeah.
You know, like, this is the real world, Barry. You can't, you know, I'm not a hero. I'm not a hero.
This is, yeah.
And I'm like, okay, tone it down, brother. Like, bro, turn it down. Mm-hmm. And the Flash is just, you know, I was actually watching it today and I had an epiphany about the show. And I'm like, did they have to keep those two geeks and the dude to help them? You know, I mean, I'm sure in the comic book there wasn't really
somebody helping
you. Yeah. The support group?
Same thing with Arrow. Mm-hmm. You know, they have the support group and they need it to, because they just can't focus on just the guy. They need some extra.
I've been thinking about that because I was like, do we really need Felicity and Arrow? I mean, I like her, but yeah, I mean, do we really need her in her quirkiness?
Do you really need Tiggle?
Yeah.
Diggle.
Yeah, sorry. Wrong show. Yeah, I mean, you know, it's just like for me, I just thought about it. Like, do we really need them?
I get that, but I think because they're trying to target a wider audience.
It takes away.
You're trying to target the black folk.
It does kind of take away from the actual character development.
Well, you know what though? I think that makes it more real world,
I guess.
Because he does need help.
So you think heroes can't like do it on their own?
Well, like Arrow's not a superhero, so it would be convenient for him to have a backup.
But you know what?
Looking at
him. You're right. You're right. They do need backup because it is a modern world where back then heroes didn't have
computers and
tracking devices. And
it's modern, bro. Modern.
So I guess you're right. Yeah. I guess you're right. Okay. Well, then I think
because it would be like, oh my god, where can I find them? Go on the computer, and then I have to go fight, and then you know, like
you know what, man. But for Flash, he's very like he doesn't really like have a lot of faith in himself.
But he's young. He just started out. You gotta give us some time.
You would think, though, he just, you know.
People don't just, they grow into themselves. They don't just
I'm sorry, become. If I have super speed, I'm gonna be cocky like a motherfucker.
Yeah.
Well, he kind of is so, when he starts doing all this
stuff.
Well,
he's only cocky around that girl he likes.
Yeah, when he's in the suit, he's kind of cocky.
Oh, yeah, he does, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
What's her name? Iris?
Iris. Yeah. When he's around her, he's like, yeah,
what's up, girl?
I can change my voice. I can warp it.
So what do you think of the Daredevil series?
And Netflix?
Yeah.
I am very excited. I'm very excited because Netflix has nothing but...
Good shows, yeah.
Original Netflix shows are actually pretty good.
Excellent.
What, Marco Polo?
Yes.
I want to see that.
Orange is the New Black.
Yeah. Actually, House my husband just started watching The Killing, which he can't stop watching now.
And that says a lot about... This is a lot because...
Because he speaks Spanish.
Yeah, exactly.
So, Which one?
The Killing.
The Killing, yeah.
Original Netflix.
It's a Netflix series. Yeah. It's on there.
But he's like totally into it. He's like, you gotta watch it. And I'm like, well.
The same way I told you gotta watch House of Cards and you still haven't.
I will eventually. I'm doing my stuff, we're
gonna go back.
There's so many podcasts to listen to.
Yeah. I mean, so for that, the Netflix's stamp on it makes me.
Really excited.
Really excited. Yeah. And I like how they're going with the, was it Matt Millar? Is it Matt Millar or is it a Frank?
Come on, bro. She just sold you up that you're. The Book of Knowledge, and you're throwing out that name? Sorry. Frank Miller.
Frank Miller.
That was Frank Millar.
Frank Millar.
That's Mark Millar.
Mark Millar. Fuck! See, I know, right? They both fuck with me.
They're two good writers, though.
That's true. But, excellent, I think. So they're going on his story, which is a gritty kind of beginning.
Yeah.
And they show a picture of how he looks, where he wears the all black cat suit, and he has like the big old black bandana blindfold.
Nice.
Which is just like
it looks comic. In every scene. It looks like the bad guy pulled his beanie over his eyes. He's like,
yeah, but it looks cool.
Yeah, I mean, it looks cool.
I like the actor they picked for him. It's if you're familiar with Boardwalk Empire, he was Nookie's right hand man and the guy who slept with his wife.
Oh, that guy. Okay, yeah. Cool. Yeah,
so
right
he's,
on.
He's a good actor. So
sweet.
I mean, and in the hands of Marvel, Marvel has done no wrong yet.
Wait, Agent Carter. And
okay,
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Yeah,
Agent Carter, yes, and S.H.I.E.L.D. Yes.
Have you seen Agent Carter? Are you interested in watching it at all?
I've been told to try and watch it.
Who said to try?
Women, of course.
Are you getting at that you don't like it?
No, I'm just getting at that I'm not. I have no desire to watch it, I want to know what.
Okay, I'm a huge.
I heard Agent Carter was pretty
good.
Pretty good.
Yeah, really? That's what I heard. That's
it's in the time. Like in the timepiece that 19, I like.
It's the 1920s, yeah, 30s.
Yeah. They told me that it's, I mean.
Wait, 40s. It would be 40s, right?
1940s.
I mean, I can't spoil it because I didn't see it.
Yeah.
But they told me that it starts right after Captain America
goes down. That's what I heard, yeah. Exactly.
Oh, it starts from there. Like, wow. She's like, oh, fuck. And then Agent Carter.
Okay.
I haven't seen any of them because I'm not a big Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. I'm not a big S.H.I.E.L.D. guy.
Look, I'm not Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., but I do love the noir kind of. You know, set up where the 1940s were.
Yeah, I love that.
People
shit.
Are still, you know.
Yeah.
So I could dig it. Except that I just don't. I'm scared because of S.H.I.E.L.D. S.H.I.E.L.D. I saw the first episode.
Oh, it's
never
horrible.
Never look back.
I tried to see never, second the episode. First episode. So first bad. Season?
Yeah. Yeah. I never looked back after that, dude. It was just like it lost me. It just was like bad. This is too stupid. Yeah, too stupid. Yeah. I mean, really.
They had good actors, but they just couldn't make it happen.
The writers, and I heard Josh Whedon was behind it. And you know what? Josh has that fire. It had that Firefly, which a lot of people
love it.
And mm-hmm. I saw it. And
you're
making
it even worse for me because I didn't like Firefly. Yeah,
exactly. I didn't either. I
fell asleep and everybody's like, you gotta watch Firefly.
No, see, for me, it's like, I don't understand how people. But you know what? It's a cult following. Some people really love something.
This is a rip of Han Solo.
Yeah, see, some people really, love, you know. Fucking Firefly, and some people really don't
Buffy,
like it.
The Vampire Slayer. Same thing. Hello,
You loved it. Yeah. You liked Angel.
I was a Spike fan.
Yeah, exactly. Okay.
Yeah. So, but no, but I mean, I don't think I could watch Buffy now because no,
I know.
Like,
but I think that's where Marvel is fucking up, where they're not taking it very seriously, like on that front, where DC is kind of they have more room to breathe, which is kind of cool because they got the Atom. I've been told that they were bringing in some other heroes, like, I forgot who they're trying to bring in. It was a female, I think Vixen.
Oh, right? Yeah.
Yeah, trying to be a Vixen. And someone else. But they have the Atom in there, who's played by Brandon Roth, which is cool.
I like it.
I like the actor.
He
didn't do too well in Superman Returns.
He did all right. But, you know.
Little Christopher Reeve, man. So, I mean, the show looks great. I mean, and the tie-ins, the crossovers that are bound to happen in the future, I mean, the it's endless. They mentioned Bloodhaven, Gotham, and I like how they really reference Batman. They actually said his name on the Flash
show. Right, I know.
So that
Batcave.
Yeah, well,
we'll call it the Batcave.
Yeah, and I was like, man, that's kind of cool. So I'm really digging. I'm really digging those shows. DC is doing a real great job.
Talking about DC.
Oh,
I'm
sorry.
Go ahead.
Maybe you're gonna say what. Oh no!
Yeah,
oh no!
Yeah, Gotham.
I love Gotham.
It's losing me.
I haven't seen the season.
It's gradually losing me.
I
love Gotham
since it came back. I haven't seen.
Yeah, it's gradually losing me. I mean, I'm not saying that it's not good, but
it's not good.
It's just nah.
If that makes sense.
It's good, but not good. I mean, it just doesn't tackle. Like right now, I heard that they're gonna bring in a fucking Crane into the show, and I'm like, this is exactly what I did not want to happen. For it
but
to
do
be,
you, do you
no,
feel
I don't,
that
I don't like the foreshadowing too much where like Bruce is fucking has to train right now.
I think, you know, and that's another thing. When it came back, the series came back, I think they took a lot of the you know, criticism from the fans because I haven't seen Bruce since.
I was just thinking that you said
well,
that.
Bruce is coming back on the show. I would have
just not even had Bruce.
I was,
like, that whole thing.
I wanted it
just
to
see the.
I wanted it to be a cop show and it be about the mob. And the mob is very interesting.
Yeah,
you know, it like always the, is
without but, Jada Pinkett Smith.
Without Jada Pinkett Smith, yes,
well, she might be offed because she just got.
Oh, I hope so. If she does, I'll go back to watch the TV show because I won't. You know, the Penguin character is great.
I think
he does a great job.
Excellent,
but he's the only one that makes sense being in that.
Well,
that TV show.
I like Harvey Bullock too.
Bullock,
He's
now you could see where, you know, he becomes that, you know, that cop, all about the cop
he's
thing.
He's turning into a good guy now.
Yeah, and I love that.
Not a dirty cop anymore.
Exactly. I just saw that in the first, when the season started again, he did that turn. It was great.
Yeah,
I liked it.
I just, like I said, I don't like that they're bringing in all these future villains and now.
I think you're being way too hard on Gotham because they do that in Arrow where they bring them these DC villains.
But he's already of age.
But he's already Arrow.
He's already Arrow.
Green Arrow.
Whatever.
It's not like, Oliver is only 10 and we're going to bring back Deathstroke. We're going to bring Deathstroke in. And we're going to bring back. It's like, yeah, they're all there. And you're 10.
Well, you're something. I heard something about the Red Hood on Gotham.
I heard,
right?
Yeah, the Red Hood. Well, there was a Red Hood.
Yeah.
Which was the Joker.
Yeah.
So we might just.
So
get
we
it.
Think.
Even, I don't know.
Even,
people are saying that.
Even though the Red Hood didn't fight the Batman until he was Batman. So. That tells you something.
It's just, yeah, I just.
Professor Crane, really? There? Riddler? Edward Nygma?
Yeah.
Really? Catwoman?
Catwoman, I guess. But they don't.
Nygma is,
nah.
I like him.
No,
I
but
like
they,
him.
But they,
I know, he's really,
but they bring,
I know
no,
it's
but
off.
They bring everyone, the Penguin. Look, the only person that should be in there is the Penguin. I get that, because
he was older.
He was older.
Harvey Dent's on there. By the time Batman's older, he's going to be
Harvey
like,
Dent's
like
in his mid,
he's gonna be
like mid-20s. Yeah, exactly. That's why I was like. Oh, they lost me already. Now they're losing me even more. You guys are just drowning that show, man. Might as well bring in Batman. Might as well say Bruce has Bruce goes into a hyperbolic time chamber and comes out like he's like 10 years older. And then catches up. Then I'll believe it.
All right.
But Gotham.
I see your point. Mm-hmm. But I enjoy it.
No, you're just seeing it through Was what? It called colored glasses?
Rose colored glasses. There. Probably. No, but I like the characters. I'm going to take it as a whole different world. It's a whole different,
I tried doing that.
I kept getting mad.
I tried to.
Batman won't have to do that.
Master Bruce.
Master Bruce, I'm going to kick your ass.
Alfred, what?
I'm a limey.
Alfred wouldn't do that.
That's true. I gotta say, Alfred was a letdown.
I can't trust Alfred in that show.
Yeah. Okay.
I'd rather take the animated series.
Enough of that.
So, yeah.
Well, that was all for our shows. Thank you for joining us, sir.
Thank you for having me.
Okay, now I was going to say, did you hear about the Supergirl?
Yes,
I did. They got the girl to play. But what are they going at? Is she doing her own show? Or
it's her own Supergirl.
It's going to be a Supergirl movie all over
again. I was just seeing that.
Why are you hating?
They have
I think you guys just hate too much because it's like the main DC character.
They have Jimmy Olsen.
Oh my god. Let me guess. Wait. Let me guess.
They fall in
love. No. Let me guess. Clark Kent is 10 years old. If they do this, I swear to God, I'm gonna throw my shoe at the TV. Literally.
Jimmy Olsen's like a black dude. So.
Oh, wow. There you go. They just lost me already.
He has to be a ginger, man.
Yeah, he has to be a ginger. They're not very well represented in, you know, the big screen.
Why does everything have to be blackified? Why don't you just make him Mexican at least? I know. At least change it up.
We need some Chinese diversity in there. We need some Japanese in there. Malaysian. Yeah. Vietnamese.
Give me a Japanese.
French. I don't know. Whatever.
Give me a Japanese Jimmy Olsen.
They were talking about Joss Whedon was saying that there wasn't enough female superhero movies.
Okay, I get that. Yes, I do get that.
I mean, I'd like to see his female superhero movies just because it'd be hot. But
which one, though?
You know.
Which Marvel character?
I don't care, whatever's less. The one with the less clothing on. Miss Marvel. But I was going to ask you, as, you know, a female, you probably have female superheroes that maybe. Do you have? No. Can we get somebody in here that is very true.
You have a good point, dude. A lot of women. Don't really have a role model to look up to. Not even Wonder Woman. A lot of girls don't really like Wonder Woman as a character.
They all like Harley Quinn.
Yeah, they like the crazy Quinn, which pretty much tells you something about
Wonder Woman. Well, I mean, come on. Seriously. Nah. They go for the bad guy. No, the girls go for the bad guy.
They like crazy. They like crazy.
They like passion.
Which pretty much kind of...
Yeah. Like, and Wonder Woman's too disciplined and too powerful and too...
So women can't be too powerful.
No, I'm just...
I'm reading between the lines.
I am saying this as a general thing. Like, I do not feel that way. I love Wonder Woman.
Like, you know what? There should be consensus. Like, ask every girl that you find.
Let's do that. We should do like, that. No, I should take my little microphone.
Who's your favorite superhero?
Well, that's what I was going to ask you. And a lot of girls. As a female, what female superhero would you like to see made into a film?
Well, I can't wait to see Wonder Woman. Definitely. I mean, I'm not really crazy about this Gal Gadot. Gal Gadot. I'm interested to see what she has to show us. And, you know, I'm reading the Wonder Woman New 52, which I really like.
It's really good.
I know it is.
I haven't seen anything. I don't know anything after Brian Azzarello. Because I think he left an issue 32 or something like that. Oh. But I heard all his stuff is pretty good.
I see. So, no, I really like her. I mean, I grew up watching her... Linda Carter as Wonder Woman, which I watch now and I'm like, whoa, there could have been so much more development as a woman.
I'm just like, spin some more.
But I really loved her. I loved the representation of Wonder Woman in JLA, the cartoon.
JLA, I mean, the cartoons period are way better than anything.
Right? All the characters should just stop
whatever they're doing and make full-length cartoon movies.
Yeah, I mean, like Mask of the Phantasm, that was fucking awesome.
Oh, any of them, man. Fucking Red Hood was, I mean, had me in tears.
Fuck yeah.
Still has me in tears.
I just don't even want to think about it right now.
Have you seen the new one?
Which one?
Game of Thrones? Throne of Atlantis.
No, I haven't bought it, but I heard it was...
Well, Jonathan, I keep dropping Jonathan like everybody. My friend, my buddies, my bros, said he didn't like it, but he doesn't like anything.
That's true. So, see, the thing is, like, I love all the DC films. Some more than others, but
yeah. The last one, Assault on Arkham.
You know what? I really enjoyed Assault on Arkham. They really pushed the envelope on that.
But my favorite has to be
Under the Red Hood.
Yeah,
for me, it's Under the Red Hood.
Son of Batman was pretty good, too.
That was good, but it wasn't... Didn't,
I liked it more than Assault and Arkham.
Oh, yeah, I'll give it that, yeah.
And you got, then we got the new one coming out.
Batman versus Robin. I finally saw the trailer. Look good. Court of Owls, yeah. I don't know how they're bringing that in.
Well, you see that they're kind of following that whole New 52.
Yeah, but they're going to undermine. I know they're going to undermine the Court of Owls. It's not going to be probably like the book. The book was amazing. Yeah. That's still one of my top Batman stories right now. Yeah. And that's one of the new ones. It's mm-hmm. crazy. Exactly. But yeah, but thank you guys for having me. I had to go back and
take care of your kid.
Take care of my child.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I'm going to play you off.
Play me off, Johnny.
Thank you for coming.
Pretty morbid.
I know. It's the Gotham intro.
I feel like it was funny though because I should fight crime now.
It was funny though. Or Brood. Or Brood. That's the Gotham
intro? Yeah, the Gotham intro. Yeah. Just because you don't like it.
I know there goes Inception sound. And you know what? It's like overplayed now. I'm done.
You know, I'm done with the. That whole God, what is that guy, mouse head with the big ears?
Oh,
and the
dead mouse
kind of sound, whatever it is.
Oh, I don't know. All right, guys. Well, thank you for having me. Thank you, great show. Love being on the show. Love listening, and all you guys should listen. Take it from me. Oh, also listen to what's it called, Mustache Cash Stash. Thank you.
That is his other show, Mustache Cash Stash. They're really funny guys. You guys should listen to that. He will probably be on the show again some other time in another.
Whenever point. We choose a comic that he already
reads. I know. Has. Another plane of existence.
Now for that, let's always go with new stuff.
Stuff he hasn't. Yeah, fuck him. Well, now we're going to go on to the topic of our show.
Oh, man. The show was built all around.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen. We are going to be reviewing the first book of Hellblazer. It's called Original Sins. We're going to compare it to the movie, which I can't recall very much of, so I'm going to need your help on that. And also the TV show. Right. How about that, you guys? And there's going to be a lot of spoilers, so sorry about that, guys. But hopefully, with all these spoilers that we'll be dropping, you'll be enticed to actually pick up this book and read it. So,
I got to say... Well, never mind. I won't jump ahead.
Go ahead. No, please.
I was just going to say, now I'm thinking about it, we talked about these shows. Constantine is my favorite hero comic book show.
Yeah, I didn't want to bring that up because Eric hasn't, and that was the topic of our show. Uh-huh. So I didn't want to bring that up. But yes, Constantine is a really great show out there. I'm so glad you like it. I actually love it too. The actor's really good in it, although comparing it to the comic book, he's way rougher, way ruder.
In the TV show.
He's too tortured in the TV show. Yeah, I feel he's too tortured in the TV show. Definitely. So actually, the first book, Original Sins, is what we read, and it's based on. It has a lot of short stories. The Hunger.
The first story right off the way is the Hunger Demon.
Right, the Hunger Demon.
Which was an episode
on the Constantine show. Yeah. It differed, of course, a lot. Uh-huh. But it was basically the same storyline. But I felt that in the show he was basically more tortured about it, more emotional about it. About, you know, sacrificing
his friend.
Let's see, what was his name? His name... Gary Lester.
Yeah, Gary Lester.
And in the comic book, spoilers again, in the comic book, he actually sacrifices him willingly and is there. I mean, he does feel a little tortured because towards the end where the demon's already inside his friend and they lock him up in a cage because he's going to kind of devour himself into death.
Right.
They lock him in John... is going to stand vigilant until this, until it happens. So he drinks himself silly all night and, you know, smokes like a million cigarettes. But he says it's something that needs to be done. He kind of washes his hands of it because he kind of says, he kind of did this to himself, junkie, poor junkie bastard, you know, and that's kind of the sense, the kind of guy he is, which kind of love, but you kind of are like, this guy will fucking throw me under the bus whenever he gets a chance, for sure. So I thought that was really cool how they started off. The persistent Gary Lester talked about Newcastle. In the show, they talked about Newcastle. It's a reoccurring topic. They presented Papa Midnight in The Hunger, the first story in the comic book. And one of the, what you see, you also see these spirits that follow John Constantine,
right,
which were his friends in the incident at Newcastle. So basically,
go ahead.
Basically, most of the friends that were involved in Newcastle are already dead.
You see, one that I noticed right away was the nun.
Right.
The nun is already passed away in the comic book straight out of the first issue.
Right, exactly. We don't even see her alive in the first book.
And and she looks old, doesn't she look old?
That's another point I wanted to touch, because in the comic book, I actually proceeded to start reading the second book, which is another thing I'm reading. I'm reading, you know, Hellblazer. In the second book, I already found out what happened in Newcastle. And actually, the nun...
Don't tell me.
Okay.
I just want to know.
Well, basically, she does go into the service, being a nun. But she was never beautiful. And she never hooked up with John. Like, physically. Like, they lead you to believe in the show.
The TV show. Yeah, the TV show, she's all hot.
Mm. She's all hot and stuff. Yeah. There's even a...
And there were, like, lovers before. Really good lovers, like, back in the day.
Actually, if you remember one of the other ghosts, I think her name is Emma. Mm-hmm. He actually was her lover.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And then Anne-Marie was pining over John Constantine. She always loved him, but she was actually kind of chubby and ugly. So,
yeah.
So she wasn't his love interest at all.
Yeah, actually. I remember when I saw her in the comic, I was like,
ew. That's Anne Marie.
That's not her.
Yeah, but, and that, if that proceeds me to go on to the next story in the comic book, it's called Going For It. And this was kind of like, I didn't like this story so much in the book, but it does show like the rising of the demons into like the real world. They were using some yuppies that had sworn their allegiance to hell and how they were like marketing on souls. So that was kind of an interesting story. The next story they have in the comic book was Waiting for the Man. And this is where they introduce Zed. And as you all know, Zed is a character in the TV show. In the TV show, she's hot, she's Latina, which we complain about. That there wasn't enough variety and ethnicity.
Diversity.
Diversity. So she's Latina. She speaks Spanish in the show. She's hot. Yeah, and she doesn't sleep with John.
Yeah.
And she kind of leads him on this little, like, flirtation thing, right?
Doesn't it look like she's always thinking about something, though?
Like, she's always kind of like, she had that smell the fart look.
Yeah.
John. In the show, she has these visions, and she's one of John Constantine's partners in finding out new paranormal activity.
She's an artist too in the TV show.
And she's also hates cults because there's a little seedy background that you hear about in the show where she's part of some kind of cult that she escaped from.
Mm-hmm.
And her father's kind of...
Her father's like the leader.
The leader and shit. So in the comic book, Zed... meets John Constantine, and she looks like Susie from Susie and the Banshees. Mm-hmm. Like, it's so cool. And she's gritty, and she's smart, and she's a smart aleck, and she has sex with John Constantine right away.
Right away. Well, we're noticing the differences. We were just saying about John Constantine. John Constantine he's different in the comic book, too.
Mm-hmm.
For those of you that aren't familiar with John Constantine, he smokes a lot.
A lot.
He drinks a lot. He used to do drugs.
Oh yeah.
The drugs is like, nothing. You know, give me a syringe and just let's shoot just up do a it. Bit.
Yeah, let's just hang out.
Actually, we see him shoot up in one of the issues here. To cope with, I forgot what was going on.
Yeah, exactly.
But
that comes in later.
And
in
but yeah, he's also bisexual in the comic book.
Oh, I didn't grab that.
He's bisexual, so he. And you notice there's a character in the comic book. I don't remember what issue it was. It's an older dude. And yes, Zed was like, hey, have you guys,
He's
like, no, we're just good friends. We were good friends, you know. So those are some differences from John Constantine from the show and the comic book.
You know, yeah, that storyline was right after the one that when Johnny comes marching home, there was a little kind of possession of a whole town, blah, blah. And that's another thing I noticed about the comic book is that, going off this topic, was in the comic book, the story takes place like in different continents, whereas in the show, it's just kind of just America.
Yeah. Was it like New York or where? Well, they did go into Mexico for a bit.
Yeah. But the story right after when Johnny comes marching home is Extreme Prejudice, where Zed is taken to, like you said, that friend. And that was really interesting with that story because I really liked how they brought in the subject of AIDS.
Mm-hmm.
That character was gay and had AIDS. So that was really, really cool to see, you know, and kind of an old comic book raising that kind of awareness on an issue like that, because they talked about how he was kind of bullied and tormented
mm-hmm.
because of this, and, you know, how he lost a lot of friends and so forth. But yeah, that's one of the things I liked about the Extreme Prejudice story. And then goes on to Ghost in the Machine, where we meet another of the characters of the Newcastle incident, which his name is Richie, and he's basically like a computer geek.
Yeah, yeah.
And I guess this is before they called it the net or online. They didn't have a name. He just sort of hooked himself up like electrodes on his head and kind of focused on the rhythmic pattern on the screen.
Yeah.
And then his essence would go into the machine, but it didn't exactly give it a name.
This issue here, what did we say it was called?
It was called Ghost in the Machine.
This one was a tough one, like towards the end.
It was tough to read, yes.
I was like, holy crap. Like, you really, I think here, in this, you really got a true glimpse of
what John is.
Who John is.
What kind of person John is. Because this is Richie. He was with them in Newcastle, which happened when they were teenagers or young adults. Mm-hmm. I mean, this happened years ago. And this has been kind of a buddy of his. They don't really stay in touch, but they obviously know each other. They have history together. Yet Richie goes on into, you know, this, I'm going to call it online, mm-hmm. or inside the computer. He goes online. He connects online.
He leaves the Matrix.
He leaps into the Matrix. And and his body stays behind. And I think because what happened is Richie goes on and walks really further into mm-hmm. the Matrix, or, you know, the computer. His body spontaneously combusts.
Yeah.
And all this time he's talking to John through the computer, and John's like, what the fuck, you know?
Like, what am I going to do?
Yeah, what am I going to do? And he's like, well, there's nothing much you can do. Yeah. And he unplugs him.
Yeah.
He unplugs the computer and leaves Richie inside the Matrix.
Because John was like, how am I going to, like, he's like, whoa, what's going on? Like, you know, he's like, hurry, he was trying to hurry back. And once it started, he was like you said, Richie was talking to him, telling him about, you know, what's going on and stuff. And the whole time, John's like, how am I going to tell this guy that
his body's gone.
Burned.
Right.
If he goes back into his body, he's going to be in, like, agony and it was crazy. Like, it's like, you, what would you have done? I guess I would have been like, hey, dude, your body just burned up.
What do you think I should do? Like, yeah. Give me an insight.
What should I do? Should I leave the computer on? But John was like,
fuck this.
I can't.
He lights up a cigarette and he pulls the plug.
Yeah.
And that's kind of the guy John is. Yeah. As opposed to the show where he, like you mentioned, Newcastle, and tears stream from his eyes, basically. And as far as the show goes, you're like, no one pretty much tells you what happens in Newcastle. As far as we know,
it's something with a girl. Yeah,
with the young girl that gets damned to hell for eternity. They do mention that she's Lester's daughter. Was it Lester?
No, I don't think it was Lester. Lester was there.
I don't know. Well, she gets down to hell, and it's pretty recent. You know, people are talking about, like, maybe a couple of years ago, five years ago. But the Newcastle, in essence, in the comic book, happens, like, in the 70s, you know, and they're in the 80s. So he pulls the plug.
You notice that in the book, we don't see Chaz.
Not very often, no. As I think much. Just, no, I think we see him, like, twice.
Twice or something like that. As much as, I thought he was going to be, like,
a constant guy, like like a shadow.
Right,
not,
right there.
Maybe not yet. Maybe in the future, yeah. Uh-huh. One character we do not see in the comic book at all is that angel that talks to John in the show.
Right. That's true. I didn't even pick that. I was reading it. I didn't even pick up on it. So, yeah, maybe again, maybe somebody later in the future, maybe. Yeah. Because I think he has to come out later on. Because he's also in the Keanu Reeves. They also have the angel in the Keanu Reeves, Constantine.
We haven't even touched on the Keanu Reeves in the movie Constantine.
The Keanu Reeves, I think it's kind of like loosely based on.
I think it's just the Constantine name, right?
Because the powers, the whole tattoo thing.
Yeah. The whole lack of an English accent thing.
Yeah. I mean, like, the only thing he has is that he smokes.
Right.
He smokes as that, you know. Chaz is there, like, all the time, which is, what's his face, Shia LaBeouf.
Oh, that's right.
And the angel's there. And yeah, so maybe later on, further in
the comic book series,
because you haven't seen it, right? You say you're into volume two yet. You haven't seen?
No, I haven't seen at all. No angel.
That's true.
A demon, yes. Yeah. No angel.
Yeah.
But in this one story, the ghost in the machine Zed gets captured and brainwashed again into the cult. I'm not sure how it happened. I cannot recall. I might have to reread that little snippet again. But John ends up in the hospital.
Oh, that's where he jumps from the train.
He jumps from the train. That's right.
After the whole computer thing, he's in the train and the ghosts are there talking to him. Right. And he's like, you know, fuck you guys.
And he just jumps out. That's right. It was so weird that I blocked it because I was like, why did he fucking jump? They're just ghosts, right?
Yeah.
But he jumps off the train and then, yes, he doesn't die. He ends up in the hospital.
I guess because he just can't be alone because they're like hounding him all the time. Yeah. Like, dude.
And now, and at that point, Lester has joined the ghost pack. So now, you know, I guess Lester died and then he joined the pack right away, and Richie's still alive, so they're giving him hell for what he did to Richie.
I kind of want to know why they're there, like, why, what makes them hang out there, why are they
connected to Constantine? Why? Because the second book tells you why.
Okay, because that's one thing we don't see in the comic
either. in the show
yeah, sorry,
there are no ghosts in the show, sucks.
What they did do, which I don't know, you're in the book two yet. The, what's her name? The nun?
Anne-Marie.
In the show, she's able to, her spirit.
It appears wherever
she needs it to appear.
Astral planing, I think it's called.
So she could communicate with John.
Right.
Because she appears by him. So I wonder if that's kind of the way they're working this in. Into that, maybe? Or maybe.
But there are ghosts in the comic. They're dead. They're already dead.
Yeah, yeah. But I'm saying, like maybe that's kind of how they were working that angle, the whole ghosting. Like, she's able to...
astral plane.
That's her power. Because I didn't see any of that. Mm-hmm. I mean, well, you said they talk about her more in the
book, too. Yeah.
Book, too.
Yeah. And I think the very first storyline or arc, or the second one, they start talking about the whole Newcastle thing. So the captor said, because she's the Mary, she's like the vessel in which the heavens are going to come down to earth. You know, there's this big thing going on, right? So they brainwash her, they, you know, shave off her hair, they bathe her, and then John is in the hospital, and this demon appears to him while he's at the hospital, and somehow he talks about, you know, stuff's happening. Mm-hmm. This shit's happening, heaven and earth, and... you know, like, the son of God is, you know, like, all this, you know, like, religious stuff. And Hell's not having it, you know. So
it's like he kind of knew about Zed, right? Like, yes, if Zed goes to help, it's like you got to do something. Like, yeah, like he kind of comes to Constantine for help.
Come to, and then he's like, "Well, okay, I'll do it, but I'm here in the hospital." But yeah, so what he does is he injects, he puts in the IV drip, he puts his blood, and then all of a sudden,
if you guys didn't pick up on John Constantine jumping out of the train, he kind of broke like everything
in his body. Yeah. Yeah. He's pretty much like, you know, like all, you know.
Yeah. So like Sarah was saying, he tells the demon like, "Well, I can't do shit for like months, you know? And the demon's like, I can fix that.
I'm going to fix you up.
And he says it's going to be really painful.
And it is. I mean, I really like the double page spread on that particular thing. It was pretty awesome there. That one.
Where he jumps up. Yeah.
Yeah. That was really good art right there. So now essence of the demon is in him. So he's not only healed, but he almost has a little extra strength. Mm-hmm. If you notice in the show, he fuses himself with the demon to survive Anne-Marie's gunshot.
The mid-season finale.
Yeah. Yes. So that's kind of a little nod.
Yeah, the only thing is in the TV show, he calls, like he summons
a demon.
The demon into his body.
Right, right. So there's that. And so now his job is to kind of avoid that the Mary incident. Mm-hmm. And then the next story arc, it's called Shot to Hell. So at this point, I think because of taking the blood, he's gone completely insane. He looks almost like a transient. He hasn't bathed. The ghosts are no longer haunting him. He's sort of just sitting there on his couch, just kind of zoned out. And he actually projects the image of himself and has a conversation with himself. And he talks himself into getting back at it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's true. Yeah.
So then he gets on a plane and he goes...
Yeah, he shaves himself.
He shaves himself here.
He goes back to find Zed, right?
Yeah, he goes back to find Zed because that's what he has to do. He made a deal with the demon. So he hides in this kind of like hole inside this tree, which I thought was really cool. And the Mary is taking a stroll on the grounds, the holy grounds or whatever. She has no hair. She's in this like cape thing or robe. And then he takes her in his arms and they have a little talk and he just...
Oh, they have a talk, all right.
Yeah, they go into it.
They get it inside the tree.
So at this point, you know that the essence is inside him. The demon essence is inside him. So as he ejaculates, he has just polluted the holy vessel.
Right.
Exactly. So... In this story, we see Swamp Thing, and for some reason they're not really happy. There's a cameo appearance of Swamp Thing and Abby, and Swamp Thing and Abby both dislike with a lot of force or energy. They really dislike John. I don't know what happened.
Especially Abby.
Oh God, Abby totally hates him. She just can't even be in the same room as him.
Swamp Thing is trying to knock up pretty much knock up Abigail.
Yes.
But in order to do that, he has to
have a human body.
So, but what is it? Does John volunteer or does?
I think they had some history. I know that when I was reading Swamp Thing, there was a reference to a cameo appearance by John Constantine, and I think there's a relationship that forms there. But obviously it goes sour because they hate him. But I think because of the connection he has to the mystics or the mysticism.
That's right. He said John was the only
person,
the only match, right,
that could possibly be the vessel of the Swamp Thing. Uh-huh. So what I noticed, because I reread this again, because it's very confusing. That's one thing. It's kind of a hard read in certain spaces. Yeah. So I reread this, and what I gathered is the Swamp Thing takes the vessel, his body, over as John floats in through the astral plane. Mm-hmm. Until he's done, then he can come back to his own body.
Right.
And they've arranged for this to happen. Abby's having a hard time with it because she hates...
Yeah, she says she can't even look at him. Like, she's like, I can't...
And like, I feel like your mouth smells like cigarettes. So he, like, does something and then he, like, freshens up his breath.
He's like, let me get some of that chlorophyll.
Yeah, I know. Pretty cool stuff. And so they're getting it on. There's, like, a little backstory of Abigail and stuff. And then...
Yeah, that's true. When the Constantine... When the Swamp Thing stuff comes on, mm-hmm. that's when it does get a little... Weird. The read is a little
hard.
Like, what's his name? Estrogen showed up.
Estrogen
and
the Phantom Stranger. The
Phantom Stranger came in, and I was like, "Well, like this is."
I know, like they were so like it's sort of like you pan out to the audience, and the camera closes in on the audience, and it's them.
I was kind of like.
You're like, what the hell? Like, where did they come from? Like, yeah. What's going on? Like, here? How did it transition to this scene mm-hmm. where they're talking about? But they're basically what they're talking about is like the deal between heaven and earth.
Right.
There's something going on, and you know, they're talking about John, and they're like, my money's on the one with the trench coat, which is funny because I think it makes a reference to the Trench Coat Brigade, mm-hmm. which the Phantom Stranger is part of, mm-hmm. with along with the John Constantine and Mystery. Mm-hmm. Mr. E. So that's pretty cool. I'm very excited about that. And for those of you who don't know, the Trench Coat Brigade is a 4-issue story arc that was put out by DC Comics through Vertigo. So check it out. So the demon is called Nergal, and he's basically single-handedly just fucked up the Mary, which is the vessel, and it looks like the Swamp Thing did, in mm-hmm. fact, conceive with Abby. Unfortunately, though, as John Constantine is traveling through the astral plane while the Swamp Thing has his body, Nergal finds him in the astral plane and starts chasing after him. I'm pretty sure this is still in the first book. So he starts.
I was trying to look for. I was like, wait, because I was a little confused at the last two. I was like, what's going? This whole thing right here with the thing is, I was kind of like,
oh yeah, and then there's a you know, like as we said, that weird episode with the Etrigan and the Phantom Strange. There's a small snippet where there's demons in hell torturing a head.
Yeah,
and it's Arcane, the bad guy from Swamp Thing.
Anton Arcane.
Yes. Do you remember you read the Swamp Thing and Anton Arcane, you remember he screams Arcane, yeah. Arcane, that's him. So he's being tortured in hell. But that was so like out of left field.
Yeah, that's why I was like,
who the are last you? One
I was like, wait, what the heck's going on here? Like it got really, like you said, it was hard to read. I was kind of like, well, I'm used to Batman where he just kicks ass. What's going on?
Rihanna, what is this? Yeah. Who is Arcane? But fortunately, we have read Swamp Thing, so. Mm-hmm. It was a tie-in there, and I think that's one of the cool things is like it was this book was a big nod towards Swamp Thing, which I really enjoyed. And unfortunately, I'm not sure if it's in this book. But like I said, the demon, what was his name? Nergal. He's chasing...
I think that's probably the second
book. Right? Okay. Maybe I won't say it. yeah. Well, what's at the end of this one? Because I'm already meshing with the...
This is where John Constantine, the actual John Constantine... Because Abby... What is it? She takes off or something.
Right. She takes off because she's upset.
Yeah. And she's kind of like... she gets picked up by those two swingers.
Oh, that's right.
Remember that swinger couple, and they're trying like, hey, you know.
They're
like,
trying to hit her up.
You're pretty hot. What's up?
Yeah.
And she's like, no, like, let me out the car and blah, blah, blah. And she has no ride. She doesn't have anything, so she needs help. So she calls. She ends up calling Constantine, mm-hmm. which is probably, like she says, it's the last person that, you're the last person I would ever call. I thought something was going to happen here.
Yeah, me too. Because it's kind of seedy. He's dirty.
Yeah, John Constantine kind of takes her, you know, he's like, you know what, let's go get a drink. And then they start dancing and, they, you know, then they go to a hotel room.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh shit. I was like, it's going to go down and Swamp Thing's going to show up. And Swamp Thing's mad. Like, he's angry. He knows that they're together. And he's like putting up these like He's building these bodies of plant matter
or, you know, whatever.
Yeah, and it's like one's John Constantine. He's like punching the head off.
And one of them is Superman, if you notice. Yeah. Batman, I mean, he starts making these figures that he takes out his aggression on, which I thought was really cool.
And it was pretty cool because then after that, they go back to Swamp Thing's swamp area.
Well, actually, there was a little cute part where she wakes up and she's like, oh my God, what did we do? But he's like,
apparently nothing
because you're completely dressed.
Yeah.
You're fine.
He moves the blanket.
And I was like, oh shit. Like, yeah. And then she's completely clothed.
So then they go back to meet up with Frankenstein. Swamp Thing, and he, you know, they're kind of like, dude, it's okay. Like, John Cousins, there's one where John Cousins is like hugging him, and he's like, hello, like we're cool.
Yeah. Like, it's cool. Like, they, it's sort of like everybody knows John is an asshole, but they know that he's kind of a necessary person to exist.
Right.
They don't completely hate him, but they don't really like him either, which is one of the things that makes this book completely unbelievably cool, which is what I love. And the storyline really starts picking up in the second book, so I really highly recommend it. I'm not going to spoil it at all.
God, now I'm like, I already have books lined up.
And yeah.
Now I'm like, should I just go into Constantine? I just started Preacher.
Yeah.
Too, so I'm like, should I go back to Constantine after this? I still have the what's it called? We were just talking about Daredevil book that I want to read, and it's, don't get into comics, guys.
Yeah, it's really hard. It's really hard. Especially now that there's such a history of great writers and great stories and great characters out there. It's really hard to kind
this,
of find.
This stuff here, the Swamp Thing here, is pre...
it's awesome.
Pre... I was going to say Alanis Morissette. Alan Moore.
Yeah.
Pre-Alan Moore.
Yeah, actually, this, I think, book... is a nod to the Alan Moore storyline, Swamp Thing.
It's funny because I have the first...
Swamp Thing?
The first 30 issues of Swamp Thing.
Yeah.
I got them off of somebody and I still haven't read them.
So good.
I'm like, I don't even know if I want to open them because they're just like old comics. I'm like, maybe I should just buy the trades.
The trade, yeah. That's what I do because I really hate it when I bend them or whatever. Yeah. So I just get the trades. It's just easier if I want to reread a story.
Because I know after that, Alan Moore is the one that kind of brought Swamp Thing back.
He rebuilt him into this amazing character. Amazing.
I want to read the whole thing where he goes to Gotham and holds Gotham. I haven't read that.
Actually, Ben, one of our previous co-hosts, he read the whole thing. And he's just like, oh my God.
Yeah, I think that's where I remember it when we did that episode.
He was just like, he actually told me that's how I I recognized Constantine was in the Swamp Thing book.
Yeah.
And I was like, and that actually brings me to my next question. Where was it or what book were you introduced to John Constantine in?
I don't know. Honestly, I got to say the new stuff.
Really?
The New 52 stuff.
Really?
He shows up here and there in the New 52 stuff. I always knew who, again, he's one of those, you know who he is, but I never read, this is the first time I read Hellblazer.
Yeah.
For years, I've been trying to get a Hellblazer, but I was like, what story should I read? I have a side story, it's probably not a side story, but it's Dangerous Minds, and it's a Hellblazer story, but it's probably the half the size of this,
the book.
I don't know if it's in the actual, I don't know what issues it is or whatever, but they told me that that's really good, so I picked that up. But this is the first time I actually read Hellblazer, the first time I knew Constantine was the Keanu Reeves movie.
So that was your first introduction to the character John Constantine.
And that's, I didn't even know he was an actual comic book.
Really?
I think that's why I liked the movie, because I didn't know that it was tied to this. Now that I'm more familiar with Constantine, I look back at that movie.
And you're like, ugh.
I was like, still, I'm not like, oh, it's a bad movie. It's just, it was kind of like really loosely based, like I said earlier. Because what he does is kind of cool, like the power thing.
The hands and the tattoos.
So I was like, whoa, is that going to be in Constantine? You know, does he do that? But no, he doesn't.
He doesn't.
So yeah, I guess I got to say that Keanu Reeves is the first is the person that introduced me to Constantine. But as far as reading him in the book, it wasn't until the recent New 52 stuff.
One thing I noticed about the comic book and the show is that he doesn't carry a bag of tricks like he does in the show.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he doesn't have tattoos or anything like that like in the movie. He kind of just depends on chance and so forth.
In the comic book, you see he has a tattoo on his butt.
Oh, yeah.
It was like a little heart or something. Yeah,
something like that. Something really feminine.
Yeah. That's true. He doesn't have a bag of tricks. He doesn't... Has he summoned powers? Like, has he done chants?
Yeah, with Papa Midnight when they did
The Lester thing.
Yeah, the Lester thing. Yeah, so he basically does those chants in the storyline. Sometimes I guess he uses, like, he goes and finds things, but he does not carry the bag of tricks.
Yeah.
You see in the Newcastle incident in the second book, they go ahead and they search the things they need out. Right. The only thing he has is...
He's like Batman in the TV show. Yeah. He's like, bam, I got a fucking potion that's...
Yeah, I got this horn from, I don't know.
Demon piss and...
He has it all. Basically, there is a great difference. In the comic book, I feel he's more crass. Mm-hmm. He has a potty mouth. Mm-hmm. I wish he would say oi a lot more in the show, because it's not a bad word for us here. Mm-hmm. But I think they don't use it as much because it is kind of a bad word, you know. I think he needs more oys.
Yeah, he needs to English it up a bit more.
A little more, yes. Yeah. Like a little bit crass and kind of, you know. There's a thing in the comic book, if you guys are listening out there and know what it means, it's Scrooth. Scrooth?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Actually, I just saw Struth.
Struth. I do not know what that means, but I think it's a bad word.
I was, you know, I kind of made a connection when I read it, but now I don't remember what it was.
I think he says it when he's surprised or when he's like angry.
Yeah, and I kind of like understood it when I read it, but now I'm like, what the heck was it? No, I couldn't tell you guys.
Yeah, it's either a astonishment or a bad word. One of the other things they make a lot of reference on, which is really racist, is like when a lot of the youth is shown in the comic book, they talk really badly about the undocumented folk. Like they call them the Packies.
Oh yeah,
the Packies. Yeah, I was like, what? But that was a kind of it is definitely for mature readers. Like, there's some sex scenes.
Yeah, remember you gotta zoom back, take yourself back to the 80s.
Yes,
this book is the 80s.
Like I said, Sad looks like Susie and Banshees pretty much. So actually, the first instance I was presented with John Constantine was, I'm a big Neil Gaiman fan because of Sandman.
Yeah.
And I saw that this book, Books of Magic, was written by Neil Gaiman. It was like, I don't know, like 6 issues or something like that. And I actually got the book, but I repurchased it because I lost it. But basically, it's sort of the Trenchcoat Brigade. But in the opening sequence, you see this kid, he's skating in a skateboard. He has glasses and black hair, and he's kind of like, looks like a dork. And you see like these dialogue balloons, only they're not balloons, they're kind of rectangles. Uh-huh. So there's these 3 men having a conversation about this kid, talking about how he's can be the potential of being the world's most powerful magician.
Okay.
And they're talking about whether they should interfere and show him like his choices so he can make his own choice. And John is like, fuck that, you know, leave him alone. Why don't you just let him do whatever he wants? Like, though, it, you know, it's not just that. I mean, there, everything hangs in, you know, like hangs in the balance of what he knows. And I know that other people are looking into him and stuff like that because of the potential this kid might have. John Constantine is in the book kind of leading him through like different types of magic and of the history of magic. And I haven't read it again. I don't want to give too much away because I'm hoping we can review it on this podcast. But this is basically when I saw Harry Potter, because I didn't read the book, I'm not going to lie. When I saw Harry Potter, I'm like, that's a ripoff of Timothy Hunter. That's not Harry Potter. Because Timothy Hunter also has an owl. His name is Yo-Yo. And he also has the round, dark rimmed glasses.
Oh, okay.
So that's why I was like, that's a ripoff of Timothy Hunter.
That's not
that's no, I refuse. But it's a really great story, and the art is amazing. I think this is early 90s.
He looks like right now I'm looking at the picture, he looks like
Harry Potter. Like Harry Potter. Right. That's why when I saw Harry Potter many years later, I was like, and Doctor Strange,
Phantom Stranger.
Phantom Stranger's in this. Mr. E is in it. Zatanna's in this.
Uh-huh. Zatanna's in it too.
Cool. Yeah, is in this. And at one point where they pass this like different astral plane, John Constantine turns into a woman, which is so cool. Like, I think about it now, it was kind of hard to read as a person, as a young, you know, high school student. But, you know, I can't wait to read it again and kind of see it with new eyes.
Right.
So that was the first time I was introduced. I didn't even know he had his own comic book. I didn't know what they were when I started reading it, because the first sequence, like I said, they're having this conversation about this magician. If you guys are interested in kind of having like a taste of John, I really recommend Books of Magic or the Trenchcoat Brigade, which is a 4-issue story.
Cool. I actually gotta check that out. The Trenchcoat Brigade.
Yeah.
Would you be able to get that in book form? Do you know?
I'm pretty sure you can. Yeah. We'll look it up on Amazon and see.
Amazon.
So anyways, that concludes. Unless you want to add something else.
What was all this? Oh, never mind. Reference stuff.
That was just reference stuff.
Okay. I guess that's...
That's pretty much it.
That's it. Constantine. John Constantine, Hellblazer.
The Hellblazer.
I haven't read... Now, I'm curious...
Sorry, that's my phone.
Oh, I'm curious reading the new... Hellblazer. I wonder how the new stuff compares to it.
That's another thing I wanted to do. They have the new 52, right? Yeah. That would be interesting.
Because it's still going. It's still going.
Yeah, I think it's still going.
It's like 32 issues, 33 issues or something like that.
I just wanted to do that.
Oh, so I don't know if, you know, if it's worth picking up or not. Because what I do want to read, what I am interested in reading, that John Constantine is in the new 52 is Justice League Dark, which has Swamp Thing and all the magic.
The mages.
So do you think John Constantine could whoop Superman's ass in? He's like, well, magic.
I think he would be a good adversary, but I think John would know better than to try to.
Yeah.
But
that'd be pretty cool to
see.
That
would be a cool fight, for sure.
Just magic and Superman.
Yeah, because, you know, Superman's weakness to magic. So that would be cool.
I would like to see that go down. That'd be awesome.
It'd have to be like R-rated because John Constantine has like a potty mouth.
Yeah.
Definitely. But that would be a great story. So if you guys are listening out there and are writers, maybe you want to take a stab at that storyline. Yeah. Well, thanks so much for listening. You can find me, Sarah, on our other podcast. I have I'm a podcast about Lady Talk, and that's We Were Promised Crowns. And I do a little side thing called I Drive to Vegas. Not very good, but it's out there if you guys are ever bored.
How many episodes are you in?
Three, because I basically recorded when I drive to Vegas. Right. So my husband took 3 months off, so that kind of cut the season.
Okay. Yeah. So he was down here for three months?
Yeah, one of the months he went to his country to visit family.
So,
the December month, so... So yeah, so that's where you can find us, and where can they find you?
You find me all over the place.
All over the place.
No, I guess my main podcast would be the John and Ivan Show.
Which is hilarious.
Thank you. It's on Podomatic, Stitcher, iTunes, and YouTube. It's actual, we do have like a video cast also, and we do have extra videos on there, Side of Fries and... Now we started a new thing called Selfie Stick Reviews. We don't do reviews of selfie sticks. We do reviews on selfie sticks, using selfie sticks.
Okay, I got it.
You know what selfie stick is?
Yeah, I know. I have one.
So we just released one yesterday. And also, I have a comic book podcast.
Can I ask, is the selfie stick review on YouTube or?
It's on YouTube.
Okay, I gotta check that out because I was like, I didn't hear no selfie stick thing.
Yeah, so not everything goes onto
the podcast,
the audio form, stuff.
Yeah,
sometimes we got to do the video stuff. Okay, and then I do have a comic book podcast, which is weekly, and it's called Mean Green Comic Machine. Also, same thing: Facebook, Stitcher, iTunes, and all that stuff.
Dude, I really love that episode you recorded on Star Wars, because that made me totally want to watch it again.
Yeah,
like I just want to see them all over again.
It was pretty fun because I had a lot of questions, more questions than, you know, answers. So I kind of, you know, was just kind of talking. That one I do by myself, so
yeah,
it's just me talking.
Yeah, but I think you do a great job. I love it.
Oh, well, thank you.
You're welcome.
And yeah, and that's it. And every once in a while, I do make appearances on Eric's podcast, Mustache
Cash Stash, which is another hilarious show. And that's actually all guy kind of thing, which is a lot of fun. They do beer reviews and they talk a lot of shit, which is fun.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's really a lot of fun. So those are their shows.
Oh, if I could do one thing. I have an Instagram, and it's called,
which is awesome.
It's called Skatin' Toys.
So
it's
cool.
It's the handle is SK the number 8 NTOYZ, and it's just pictures of my action figures skateboarding.
Dude, I don't even know how you do it. Don't even tell me, because I just don't want the mystic, you know, the mysticism, the magic, the magic to be ruined. But those are really, I don't know how you do it, but they're freaking magic. I love them. I love when I see them. I'm like, oh my
check
god,
it out.
So cool.
Check that out too.
And it's like, you know, like all planes of existence coinciding. It's so cool. I love it. Great job. He's so creative.
That's all I got. That's all I got, man. I wish I could do something with it.
That's where you can find us. Thanks for listening, guys. I know I kind of ran long, but you could always put pause and start again.
That's right. This is only, what, once a month, so.
Yeah, pretty much once
a
month.
Yeah, you got a whole month to listen to it. Before the new one comes out.
Yes, pretty much. So we're going to join forces and see what other comic book we could bring to the table. And
if you guys have recommendations as to what you would like, you know, send those over.
Absolutely.
You know, we're always looking for
new,
because it's
books.
Either something Sarah would like to read or something I would like to read.
But
you know, if somebody throws in something that we haven't read, then that'd be sweet.
I agree. With that having said, guys, thank you so much for listening. Yeah.